evening to speak to us, Rabbi Radowitz, the renowned Rav Talmud Chacham, and he was formerly a Rav of the Shul in Silver Spring, Maryland, presently a senior lecturer at Or Sameach. And on the side, he was also a professor of law from Harvard. That's obviously bottled everything else, but it just goes to show what a person can accomplish. His words have always been very thought-provoking and stimulating, so please give him your most best attention.
Thank you. The Rebbeim. First, it's a great pleasure and kavod. Thank you for inviting me, and I know it's Baruch Hashem, it's a very nice, sweet idea that the guy should have a Malava Malka in the yeshiva, with the yeshiva. Obviously, there are other places where you can go to get food, and I imagine on Hollywood rather that you not go to those other places to get food. So it's nice enough, instead of simply saying, Osir, like the Gemara in Chulin says, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asers, he gives you something equivalent that's mutter. Same thing, Mamish, you say, now you can eat Beheter and go back and learn. And Be'ezras Hashem, this is Sudas Mitzvah, both because of Malava Malka and Divrei Torah, and it should give you a good haschalah for the week. There are really two things I want to talk about. One thing, I think, is a very, very nice machshava in the Yukim of Psukim, which I still wanted to share with you. The other is a little bit of chizuk on the inyanim of Limud Torah. The first tickle I want to share with you is Stam a Ha'ara, but it's actually it shows you the importance, as you know, of being medayik in the Lashonis of Psukim. This parsha that we read today, Chai Sora Biikir, is about the Shidduch of Yitzchak. Eliezer is given a mission by Avraham Avinu to go find a wife for Yitzchak, and he goes, finds a wife, and Yitzchak is not allowed to go to Chutz Laaretz. As Rashi says, he was an Eila Tamima, he was a Korban, he was Niskadesh, he could not go to Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, Avraham Avinu even said to Eliezer that if you're not able, if she doesn't want to come back, you are putter from your shvua, you can take a nice hakinani. Chazal were already aimed on the fact that there's a tremendous amount of repetition here, because Eliezer tells us what he's going to do, then he does it, and then he tells over what he did. At least three complete narratives. I mean, the Torah could have just said Eliezer did everything he said he was going to do, and he told Lev and Rasuel everything that happened. But yet, every time, the Torah repeats it over and over again. So the Gemara in Chulin says, Yafes Ichasan Shel Avdei Aveis. Even the casual conversation of the Avodim of the Aveis is more Choviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even the whole Torah that is given to the Bonim, us. Because the Torah that's given to us, the Torah sometimes teaches you so many halachas, an extra word, an extra letter. Why does the Torah have to give you a pasuk if it could teach you something with a letter? If the Torah doesn't waste words at all. And yet, when it comes to this, it repeats over and over again as a sign of chavivus, a sign of chashivus. That's what the Gemara in Chulin says. Nevertheless, the Mefarshim are aimed on a very important nekuda, and this will come up in quite a few parshias, that whenever a story is repeated, you have to pay very close attention, not only to the repetition, but to the shinuyim in the repetition. Because the shinuyim themselves can teach you very, very important lessons. Not only in halacha, where for states of chazal already darshan shinoyim, but even in yonim of machshava and musar and midas, a shinoy is very, very significant. Now let me just mention one preliminary point before I get into the different shinoyim and how the mafarshim understand them. And that is, I've already said a number of times that Eliezer was given a mission. Now the emphasis is, you know, there's a certain occupational hazard we have when we learn Chumash starting when we're little children. We assume that certain things are so pashut to us that we think it's in the Chumash itself. You know, everybody knows Eliezer is Avram's Eved, and of course in other parshias he is called the Eved Avram, but in this parsha it does not mention Eliezer's name whatsoever. It says Eved Avram. Could have been another Eved Avram. How do you know it's Eliezer? You don't know. You only know from Messiah. Chazal tell us that. It's not at all in the Torah. The Maharshal, over 500 years ago, remarked that in point of fact, there's something very significant here. Eliezer went as a shaliach. Now remember, Eliezer himself had a daughter. And Eliezer wanted his daughter to marry Avram's son. And who was more hugged than Eliezer? Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, a faithful servant of Avram. And he's merames, ulai leisaya veho isha. So Rashi says, ulai is without a vav. You could read it, elai, perhaps to me. And Avram Avinu says, and we'll explain what exactly the cheshbon was, ein orer mistabik b'barach, you're from Canaan, you're cursed, even though he was a big tzaddik, and an orer cannot be mechubel l'barach. We'll explain the aside of that. But here is the point the Marshal makes. Eliezer had every incentive for the mission to fail. Because if the mission fails, the shavua of Lo Sikach Ishim of Bnei Sakanani is going to be buzzled, and then Eliezer is back in the running at that point. And yet the Marshal says, the fact that it doesn't mention Eliezer's name says he was totally mevatel himself to the shlichus of Avram Avinu. There was no longer an individual called Eliezer. There was only Eved Avram, like an Eved. He's an extension of Avram. There was no atzmiya, so to speak. There was no self. There was no ego involved. And this is a great godless of Eliezer, that he was mamish mevatel himself totally to his shlichus. And the Marshal says, this is merumas in the fact that Eliezer's name as a shem prati is not mentioned at all. Okay. But to go over the shinoyim and the different accounts would take really all night. The Abarbanel enumerates something like 50 different discrepancies. We're not going to go over all 50. You know, they tell a little joke about the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel's derech of parshanus is to give you a whole bunch of kashas. So sometimes he would give you 20, 30, 40 kashas, and then give you mahalchim that would for the kashas. So they say a person like to learn Abarbanel after chol and Shabbos afternoon. So he's reading 40 kashas, he falls. He became an apikaris because he reads 50 kashas on the Torah. He falls asleep before he reads the Torah. So there's a certain sakana in giving too many kashas without giving some mahalchim first. But it's not just the Rabbi Nel, the Malbim, the Nitziv, many of the Gedalei HaMeforshim talk about this. I just want to mention maybe four or five. I'll lose count. Just to see. Number one is the mission. When Avram tells Eliezer, he uses the Lashon, go to Artsi Umayladati. Go to my land and my place of birth. If you read the words literally, Avraham never said specifically, go to my family. He said, go to my land. When Eliezer says it over to Besuel and Lavan, he says, Avraham made me swear to go el beis avi u'mishpachti. Eliezer changed Avraham's words from an emphasis on the land to an emphasis on mishpach. That's one nafkamina. Second nafkamina is one of omission. When Eliezer asks Avraham Akasha, ulai leisayev elisha lalechas, what if she doesn't want to go? Shall I bring your son there? Avram says, Chas v'chalila, I do not bring Yitzchak there, Tinokem v'yaylasi, you're exonerated. That shtickle of the Shakla Vitaria was not recounted. In other words, he didn't mention, in other words, Eliezer is telling the whole story of his Shavua to Avram. He doesn't mention that if the woman doesn't want to go, I cannot take Yitzchak there. He skips it, so that's deleted. Okay, so a shinoi in the description is discrepancy one. Number two, the deletion of the reference to ulai leisaya v'hamishim aleches. Number three is the actual test. Eliezer devises a test which is designed to show a certain midah, and for shteitzach, the midah that Eliezer is looking for, and we'll see why, is the midah of hatova, the midah of chesed. And the test that he devises is, I'm going to ask someone to one of the young women to give me water. And the woman that says, I will not only give you water, but also to your animals, to your gemalim, in other words, she goes even viter than what was asked, that's the right woman. Now, the emes is, Rivka did not do exactly that. She did better than that, but she didn't do exactly that, because the way the Torah describes it is, he then says to Rivka, give me water, and she gives him the water, and only after he drinks does she then say, gam l'gemalacha esha. In other words, Eliezer put it as if to say, she would say right away, I'll give you and the camels. Alibi the emes, Rivka didn't do that. She had him drink first. Now, al chesed and hatava, the truth of the matter is, what Rivka did is greater. Because when you respond back to somebody and you say, I'll give you and your camels, there's a certain pachisus that's covered there. Because you're basically telling the person, yeah, you and your animals are exactly the same. There's another cheshbon too. And there's another reason. If I know ahead of time that this water is for me and the camels, I may not drink as much as I need, because I figure this has to go to the camels. So Rivka's chesed is even greater. Number one, she doesn't even bring up the camels till after Eliezer drinks as much as he wants. So she's not mashre his covet to the covet of the animals. And as far as he knows, at that moment he could drink whatever he wants because she didn't say this is for the camels. So did she do exactly what he said? No. But Vibalt, his test was totally in the yonim of chesed. If she was more than he said, that's even better. Kal v'chaim. Aber, when he tells it over to Lavan, right, you know, Besuel kind of disappeared. Remember, the Rashi brings the medrash that Besuel got poisoned. So at some point, you know, Lavan wanted to poison Eliezer, and instead he poisoned his father. So that's why there's a switch between Besuel and Lavan. But when he's telling it over to Lavan, he makes it 100% accuracy. He says, I said, give me and my camel, give me. And she said, I'll give you and your camels. In other words, he makes it more accurate than in fact it was. It was a little different. What she did had been a little different than what he said. He made it 100% the same. A final chiluk, and again, I know it's hard to hold these chilukim in your head, but when we go through the halachim, you'll see how this will be miyoshev, is the order. The Chumash tells us that as soon as Rivka passed the test and gave water to him and then to the camels, he immediately gave her the gold and the nizamim and the jewelry. And only afterwards did he ask her, Basmiat. When he tells Lavan, he says, after she passed the test, I asked her, Basmiat. And only when she said, Bas Besuel, did I give her the jewel. Now Rashi explains that Eliezer didn't want to say it the way it happened because they'll think he's crazy. What do you mean? You give her the jewel, you don't even know she's from the mishpacha? So Eliezer redoes it to make it logical. But the kasha is, if it's logical to first ask Basmias, and that's why he's Mishana, why didn't he do it that way? Right, so these are a bunch, right? These are 10% of the shinuyim that the Mefarshim identify, but I think it'll be maspik for our purposes tonight. And I want to be makdim the leadership of these shinuyim with a very important yisoid of the Ran. Now, Mistama, I'm looking around. You guys are probably not in the shiduchim market yet, but this might be a future idea that you should file away. We are told that Eliezer had a daughter, and Eliezer was merames to Avraham Avinu that maybe my daughter should be a good candidate, and Avraham Avinu said no. The Pella, the Ran asks, right? The Ran, the Eli Rishonim asks, what's going on here? Eliezer is Avram's not only Eved, but Talmud, a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, a Balmidos, one who is Misharis Avram, very close to Avram, in every respect. Avram's family in Choran are Evdei Avodah Zarah. So is Avram a chauvinist? Is he basically saying, my family, no matter what? He's telling Eliezer, go and be Beicher and Eved Avodah Zarah over Eliezer. What's the cheshbon? So the Ran says the following. The Ran says that Avraham knew from his own experience that even though the people in Choran were Eivdei Avodah Zarah, they had a Lev Tov, they had kindness to people, they had the Teva of benevolence and Gemilas Chasadim. Mashen came the Kananim were Achzorius B'Teva. So here's what the Ran says. Again, this is not Halacha L'maisa at all. One has to ask a Sheilas Chacham if this ever actually came up. But I'm just quoting the Drasha Saran, or paraphrasing the Drasha Saran. The Drasha Saran says that it would be better, at least Avram Avinu made a cheshbon, it would be better to take a shidduch with someone, even if they come from an abase Avodah Zarah, when there is kindness and a lev tov, than someone who is actually a maimon, but in their heart is achzorius. Because here's the pshat. When someone has a lev tov, but they have emunas v'deyas that are meshulish. That could be corrected by chinuch, that could be corrected by hadracha, that could be corrected by learning. That's shayach to be masakin. But the midas rice of a person, it's also shaychetik. B'shtetzach it's shaychetik. Otherwise, we might as well close down learning Musar. Of course it's shaychetik. No one is saying that. But it's much harder. And even when a person is misakin, there might be something left over that could be passed on to the next generation. Avada, I mean, the Justice of Ron is Avada not saying Eliezer was achzori. Avada is not saying that. But since Beteva, the Kananim, were meshuka in achzoris, so Avraham Avinu was chayshesh that somehow there would be something that would come up later. So the Drash HaSaran says, Pshutei Shel Mikra, the single most important quality that needed to exist was a lev toiv of chesed and hatovah. And that would override even taking someone like Eliezer's daughter, who was certainly much more, you know, tzitzikas and the like. Because one thing is easier to change than the other thing. And that explains why Eliezer knew how to make his test. Who told Eliezer to make a test like that? The answer is very pashut. If the whole reason Avraham Avinu was rejecting Eliezer was Alsis Achzarius versus Rachmanis, then Fishtetzach, Eliezer's test, has to be miyusid on that midah. It wasn't Eliezer Stamazai making it up. It was implicit in the Shlichus that he's looking for a lay for a lay. So it has nothing to do with superstition. It's not like, right, even though the Gemara says, the Gemara in Chulin says any nichush that's not like Eliezer, but that just means if a person sets up a superstition to be definitive. In other words, Eliezer said if she passes the test, this is it. So nichush would be if I say the first person who wears a red dress, I'm going to marry. So that would be a nichush. That would be superstition. But Aliba the MS, Eliezer has nothing to do with nichush. Eliezer is looking for the midas taivais of Rachmanis and Lev Taiv. Gevaldige Yisayda the Drash HaSaran. Now again, I mean, as I say, whether you're going to apply it literally, if somebody comes from a base of Avodah Zarah, you know, hopefully that's not going to be Nogeya. But L'chol HaPayas, what it does tell you is that the quality you're looking for in a Shidduch and a Bayas is that of a Lev Taiv, Rachmanis, Chesed. Right? That's the Yisayda of everything. Eilam Chesed Yibana is not only the Yisayda by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bayrei the Eilam, there's also the said how each of us are bayrei our own bias. It's the said of Eilam Chesed Yivani. With this, you can actually fanfer all of the Shinoi. Shinoi number one, Avram didn't say go to my family. Avram said go to my land. Because according to the Drash HaSaran, the Iker Nekuda was not so much Mishpacha. The Iker Nekuda was that in Choran, the Makam of Choran, the Anshei Choran, are Geim Lechasadim. So Mitzad Avraham Avinu, it's Yitoche, and he didn't care if it was his family or not his family, as long as it was from the Makam Mechara where they're going with Chasod. Why was Eliezer Mishana? Eliezer's Mishana because of the following. And this shows you, like the Marshal pointed out, the emunah, the faithfulness, the namunas of Eliezer and his shlichus. Eliezer has to convince a family to let a very young girl go hundreds and hundreds of miles away from home to a strange place. According to Chazal, Rivka was only 3 years old. There's another Taisos Nivam that brings a Medrash, 14 years old. Eliezer's job is to butter up the Mechutani. Now, if Eliezer simply says, oh, Rivka's the right one because she's a kind person, well, but for Keret, in Choran there are other kind people. So Eliezer has to make the point that my master Avram, the famous Avram, the Nasi Elokim, who's Mephorsam, B'chala Eilam, he wants you! He wants you, not just any nice person. Memela, Eliezer is Mishanah. Instead of saying he wants somebody from Choran, base of the Unishpachti, butter up the Mechutan. And even if you're going to say, ah, isn't that a sheker? Well, Inechinami, B'chiyai Gavna, these type of shikara martaka mutter. Number one is to be matzel her from the base of her dessert, for sure. That's going to be mutter. But again, that may not apply to our situations. Okay. Memela, if you understand that Eliezer was Mishana the Shalit in order to impress the Mechutanim, the second kash is answered as well. Why didn't he mention the fact that I asked my master if she doesn't want to come, should I bring her there? And Avram says, Chas v'shalom, do not let... Because once again, that's not going to make the Mechutanim feel good, because that basically tells the Mechutanim that Avram would never in a million years want his son to be with you. That's not what you tell somebody if you're trying to impress them and make them feel important. So he has to leave that story. He has to leave that story out. The test. Okay, here's the thing. Eliezer made a test for Chesed. Rivka didn't do it exactly. Rivka did better, so that's fine. But when Eliezer is presenting this test to Lavan, he can't just say the test shows she's a balas chesed. If that's all it shows, once again, Lavan's going to tell you, get somebody else. Rather, he has to show it's like an omen. He has to show like a superstition. He has to show it was 1,000%. Because if it's only 99%, even if Al's chesed, it shows she's better. But that doesn't appeal to the superstitious nature of an Oved Avodah Zarah. So Eliezer changes it from a chesed test to a red dress test, to a nichesh type of inyan. And also nichesh type of inyan has to be 100% correspondence. And the final shinoy is, Eliezer gave her the jewelry without even asking basmiyat. Of course, because he didn't make a difference, basmiyat. He was looking for a balas chesed. But since he was mishan, right, all kids who lie to their parents know this, or at least they learn this. If you lie in one area, you got to change your lie all across, or you get caught. Once Eliezer was mishane from artsy to mishpachti, he was mechuyev to say, "I asked her basmiyat before I gave her the jewelry." Because if I gave her the jewelry without asking basmiyat, what do you mean? You're looking for us as a mishpacha? How do you know? You see, so Rameh, it's habah tell you. One other hara too. One final hara I didn't mention, and that is the drasha that Rashi gets from Chazal. Like the drasha that Rashi gets from Chazal that Eliezer had a daughter is because the word ulai, maybe, losaya vehaisha, is without a vav, and it could be read Eli, so I have a daughter. Interessant that double mashmais only appears in the sipur to lover. When he's actually talking to Avram Avinu, ulai is molai, not chasir. The Yesod HaDvarim is the following. When he's talking to Avram, at that point at least, he wasn't even merames. Maybe there were other discussions. He just asked a question. What he's doing with Lavan is, he is mashpil himself, he's mavaza himself to make the shlichus more successful. What he's saying is, look how chashev you are. Even I, who am so close to Avram Avinu, had a daughter. And he turned me down. In other words, imagine what he's doing. He is revealing personally embarrassing information about himself to an outsider in order to maximize the success of the mission, which he didn't have to do. Right? So you see from this, all right, so Bekitzer, what you see from this, these mahalchim, there are really two important things. One is a general yisoid that one should pay very, very close attention to repetitions in the Torah. There's often tremendous machshavas that you can get in Pshutei Shel Mikra, just from why something is repeated. You'll see this a lot in Meleches HaMishkan, right? In Parshas V'yakov HaKudim, repeats everything that the Tzimoyim, and look at the Shinoyim, there's very little Rashi in V'yakov HaKudim. In fact, sometimes even the Rishayim don't always spell it out, but in Mefarshim like the Nitziv, other Mefarshim, they try to be Aymed on these. The second is the general Nekuda of the importance of Chesed and Atava. You see in the calculus of values, so to speak, how the Torah is machshavis as the yisayid of a bias. Sometimes in the shidduch market, we get distracted. We look for all sorts of things that are not ikar and not fundamental. And here you see the Torah itself tells you, as explained by Gedolei Rishonim, what is fundamental. And if you're not in that shidduch market yet, l'chol apachas, it's also fundamental to a ben Torah, that a ben Torah has to incorporate this midah of chesed and hatovah. Baruch Hashem, you have many opportunities, even within a yeshiva framework, and maybe especially in terms of learning with people that need help, in terms of looking for opportunities to be native, looking for opportunities that you can help somebody. And the truth is, you can be native in many, many ways. Hatava doesn't even require that you take a lot of time. You smile at somebody, you say good morning to somebody, you wish somebody a good day, just in passing, it's nothing at all. That's a tremendous gemilas chesed. Leven shinayim b'chalad. The Gemara says that if you're malben shinayim, you give somebody, you whiten your teeth, meaning you show them your teeth, you smile at them. Basically, it says that's better than giving them, michel u'mishne. And these are types of chassadim that do not involve bittur Torah at all. But I'll tell you, the Stipler once said, somebody once asked the Stipler, he says that his, I'll tell you two stories about Shalom Bayis in this respect. One involved the Mirror Rosh Shiv of Chaim Shmulevitz, great, great gadol and a great, great Baal Musar, where one of his guys got married. And he came to Rav Chaim like a month or two after he got married, and he said, you know, my wife is asking me to take out the garbage all the time, and I feel for a younger man in Kailo, it's not kavodik that I take out the garbage. Talmud Chacham shouldn't do malacha bezuya b'farhesya. He said, so Rav Chaim Shalevitz says, you know, you're right. A man of your madrig, a man of your caliber shouldn't be doing these things. So the guy left. He was very happy that the Roshiva was masking. So the next day, 6 o'clock in the morning, there's a big knock at the door. He opens the door. The Rosh Shiva is standing in front of him. Rosh Shiva, what can I do? What can I help with? The Rosh Shiva, he says, you know, a person of your madrega shouldn't take out the garbage. So I came. I said, I would take it out for them. Because that was one. There was a certain lesson in the notion of, you know, don't be so chashiv that you can't be native. You know, that's a certain chashiv. The other thing is from the Stipler, and I once saw Machshav that he wrote in a letter to someone, that someone was once saying, and not as a complaint against his wife, but it was just a concern that if his wife needs so much of his time, it cuts into storim, this and that. So again, this is halacha of loma maisa. One has to always don in each individual case. But the Stipler said a certain insight. The Stipler said that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally chesed, right? Because Baruch Hu is only meitiv, because there's nothing we give Hashem. Right? The whole world was created so Hashem could be meitiv, and even the fact that we have chiyuvim, like the Ramchal says, b'shem the Arizal, it's only, that increases Hashem's hatova, right? I'm sure you've learned this, that it shouldn't be in the Hamad Kisuv. In other words, if Hashem would be meitiv to us without us earning it, there would be a humiliation in the hatova. So the hatova becomes greater because we had to earn it. So everything is hatova. So Memela, when a mensch is a Baal Chesed, particularly to his wife, but to anybody, he is Mizdamel L'Kainan. He is becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, the Shiata Nishmaya in his learning is going to be greater. So what would take a person 3 hours without the Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him in 1 hour. So he says, you're not going to be Mafsid, he actually says. You're not going to be Mafsid. Because the Deveikas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a Shiata Nishmaya in what you're doing, right? So these are just machshavas to think about in terms of hatava. But what I wanted to share with you just a little bit of a chizuk on the inyanim of learning Torah. You know, we're in the month of Cheshvan. Cheshvan, of course, we're towards the end of Cheshvan, but it's an interesting thing. You know, Cheshvan is called Mar Cheshvan, and although the grammatically correct reason why it's called Mar Cheshvan is because Mar means rain. And this is the season of rain, and Baruch Hashem, we see that Gishmei Bracha. But in the Hasidish of Sfarim, I like to say the Vort, that it's called Mar Cheshvan, because it's bitter Cheshvan. This is probably the one that you may have heard of, and that is, there are no Yomim Tovim in Cheshvan. Like Tishrei, we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Not only do we have so many Yomim Tovim, but each of them have a different Targosha. You know, there's the tshuva and the devekas and the crying and the kavana, and then there's the simcha and then there's the rikud. We have all the different emotional states that are makasher, and we have the ema and yira, and then we have the ava and the simcha, and it all comes together. And then all of a sudden, we have to go cold turkey. All of a sudden, like a rock dropped at the bottom of a well, life goes back to normal. Very bitter, hard to adjust, anticlimactic. But the emes is, Rav Tzadok says that in many ways, Cheshvan is the month of Nefila, where there's Nefila, but it's really, in a sense, a very, very important month. Because Cheshvan is the simon whether the Yomim Tovim have really been mashpia. Meaning to say, the simon of the Hatzlacha of any Zman of Ruchnius is how does it affect you when you get back to regular life. Anybody, although it's a madrega, but it's easy to be inspired when you have inspirational moments. It's much harder to keep that inspiration when you're back to regular life. And that is why Cheshvan is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's test, so to speak. In other words, right after we experience the Chagim, let's have a test. Ordinary life, no holidays, regular life. The Chazon Ish put it in a different way. The Chazon Ish put it that even a pot that is only half filled will overflow when it's on the fire. But so when I see a pot overflowing on the fire, I don't know if it's filled or it's mainly empty. But if I see a pot overflowing when it's off the fire, then I see that it's full. Same thing. A person is nispoil. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah. Good. There's something there. That's a great thing also. But you know, it could be half empty, but you know, the what's in you gets fired up. But to be nispoil during the month of Cheshvan, that already is a bigger avodah. That's a harder avodah. Right? That's the avodah of seeing and being margish kedusha. So again, this is the same thing with everything. The same way that, you know, the inyan of Shabbos is supposed to transform the entire week. That's part of the inyan of Malava Malka. Part of it is to covet Shabbos, and part of it is to be mamshich the kedusha Shabbos into the week. So Cheshvan is the same thing. This is the inyan, and this is why we often find after Chagim is a certain rifyan. And we need this chizuk. I mean, as all of you know, the Olam HaTorah, really not just the Olam HaTorah, the whole world, God's Kol Yisrael and the whole world, we've suffered tremendous, tremendous avedas these past weeks. One was Yor Shachin Tayv, Nagayim Rav Tayv Schwartzman, Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva Beis HaTalmud, one of the great, great Gedolim, again, someone who, although he was a well-known Rosh Yeshiva, but someone, the emesis, who was a shtickle mister. People didn't realize the ga'enis that he had, not just in Babli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, but in Kabbalah, in Maral. Yeah. And the other was a Rosh Yeshiva who was younger and much more meforsam, Rav Nassim Svi Finkel, Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. When he became Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Mir had only 1,000 Talmidim. 1,000 still, that's come out double of the biggest yeshivas in Europe. And now, Mir in Beis Yisrael has close to 7,000, and with the other branches, almost 8,000 Talmidim. Largest yeshiva in the world. They even have a joke about this. A guy was wandering Beis Yisrael, and he was looking for directions to Mir. So they tell him, just stay still. Wait a while, Mir will come to you. You don't have to look for Mir. It'll come to you eventually. And I'm not here to be maspid these Rosh Yeshiva. I'm sure you've heard us pay them here and elsewhere. But I just want to say one thing, and I'm sure you've heard this too, but it is so, so important to be oymed on Rav Nassim Svi's background. Rav Nassim Svi's background is our background. American boy, grew up in Shomer Shabbos family in Chicago. I'm not going to say he came from nothing. I thought that's a little harsh. I mean, he came from a very fine family, and of course he did have the yichas of the altar, etc. But he went to the Jewish day schools, co-ed high schools. There are women today who proudly talk about how Nadie Finkel would walk us home after school because he was such a polite fellow. But he's a person who grew up as a Shomer Torah, but didn't necessarily have the hasagah of becoming a Talmud Chacham, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Harbitz Torah. That wasn't the model in America at the time. Even if you were in an Orthodox family, the model was, you know, you'd be an Orthodox person, you'd be a Shomer Shabbos, which, again, is a Madrega. I'm not downgrading the Madrega. And you'll go to the rabbi's class once a week or something like that. But the notion of devoting your life to a bunch of Torah, that was a totally unknown idea. So he came from our background, and yet he was inspired, and he used to tell over, I don't know if you came across this or heard this, about his first night in Mir, you know, Rav Elazar Yehuda Finkel, the Alter Sobat Kassan, who was the Rosh Yeshiva before of Chaim Shalev, Chaim Shalev is his father-in-law. Rav Elazar Yehuda Finkel was his great-uncle, Nassim Svi's great-uncle. And Nassim Svi was going to go to Mir, so he shows up after a 24-hour flight. In those days, the flights were slower, wearing a baseball cap and a sweater, dressed like a nice Chicago kid, Chicago Cubs baseball cap. And he goes to Rav Elazar Yehuda and says, friendly, Midwestern Chicago people are very friendly. Midwest people are friendly, b'chlal. I lived in the Midwest. It's actually very different than Washington or New York. And he says, Shalom Aleichem, uncle. Great to see you. So Rav Elazar Yehuda says, no, tell me a chiddush. So here you have a 12th grade kid who was learning Gemara in the Torah class. Yeah, chiddush, you know. I mean, says, well, I thought maybe we'd have supper first and then we could talk. He says, no, tell me a chiddush first. He says, well, I don't really have a chiddush. He says, all right, go to the base medrash, think about it a little bit, tell me a chiddush. So Rav Nosson Zwi says he didn't even understand exactly, what do you mean a chiddush? I mean, he learned a little Gemara, I mean, what do you mean a chiddush? So he opens the Gemara, he looks at it after half an hour, like nothing came to him. So he goes back to Rav Lezion and says, well, maybe we can have supper first again. He says, you don't have a chiddush? Go back again. Tell me. Anyway, this happened like three times. He went back and forth. And finally, he came up with something, which he himself said was nothing great. It was a little dig. Why did Rashi, use this word instead of that word? It was not what would later be regarded as an impressive chiddush. But as soon as he said to Leiz Yudel, he said something. Leiz Yudel hugged him and said, Shalom Aleichem, welcome to me, or let's have supper. He just wanted to impress on him the concept of Yigiyah B'Terva. What you come up with, okay, everyone has different backgrounds. You don't have the background. But you got to work. You got to try. You got to come up with some type of machshavim. And, you don't have to say, let's eat supper first. Let's be miyagei a little bit. And that was the beginning of what eventually turned into the transformation of a Midwest American kid into really one of the biggest, maybe the biggest Marbitz Torah of our generation. Someone that has our background, someone who, came with all of the, baggage and all of the problems and all of the limitations that we have. And this is wholly aside from the fact that physically he was aimed in so many miraculous nesiyot, that someone who was able to learn mitochayli, mitochtsar, and to raise tens of millions of dollars. I mean, these are already madregas that maybe are superhuman. But the etzem transformation, yeah, he also recounted the following. He said something that he used the lesson, blew his mind. He said he was sleeping in a room the first night in Rav Yehuda's house, and above his bed was a shelf of shas gemaras. So in the middle of the night, Rav Yehuda tiptoed in, thinking that Rav Nosson Zwi was asleep. And he made sure, he looked, Rav Nosson Zwi was not asleep, but he was, he felt something was going to happen here. And he said, Rav Lezi Yehuda took one hand, put at one end of the shelf of Gemaras, and the other hand, and said in Yiddish, I love you so much. I love you so much. I lived here. And he said he couldn't even process exactly what was going on there. But he said he realized what Taira really was for the first time. And this is a tremendous chizuk for us, because it really tells us, again, Mirtz Hashem, I hope that you will become like Rav Nosson Zwi, but even if realistically we can't automatically expect we'll be that. But it does remind us that we have tremendous kaychas, that we have kaychas to become much, much greater than we might imagine that we could be. And in a way, it's an achrayas, right? If we have those abilities, they tell Maisa with the Nitziv, famous Maisa, that the Nitziv's first major sefer was on the She'iltas, which is a work of the Gaonim, it's the Hamik Shaila. It's a great, great sefer. It's unfortunately not learned as much, because the She'iltas is a bit of an obscure sefer, but the Rishonim bring the She'iltas. It's a very chashuv sefer, and the Nitziv wrote a perish. But the parish is like the Minchas Chinuch. In other words, it's not only on the Shildas. The Nitziv uses it as kind of an excuse to go over all the sugyas of Bavli and Yerushalmi and the like. So the Nitziv made a big simcha, and he said over, he says, now I have a teretz, achar mea v'yesrim shan. So what's the shan? So the Nitziv said the following maisa. The Nitziv says, when I was a young child, I wasn't always learning that well in cheder. So I once overheard my parents saying that Rav Hirsch Lev, the Nitziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda, is not learning so well, maybe we ought to take him out of cheder and apprentice him to a cobbler so he'll be a shoemaker. And I overheard that conversation, and I went and I begged my parents, give me another chance. And after a long time, they gave me another chance, and I changed from then on, and I became a great, great master and the like. So the Nitziv said, what would have been if I would have been a shoemaker? So he says, v'shteitzach, I would have been a shomer mitzvahs. I would have done mitzvahs. I would have been kaveh yitim l'tayra. I would have gone to an Ein Yaakov shir or chayyadim. I would have learned. Because even a working person in Europe tried to be kaveh yitim l'tayra. By the way, just as an aside, I don't want to forget my trend of thought, but even in the time of the Gra was miyased in Vilna, shiurim for balabatim in Chai Adam, which was his own Mechutin, and Ein Yaakov. And the Gra had a minhag that he gave the first shear. So it's, imagine it's imagine a shear in Chai Adam actually gave. He gave a shear in Ein Yaakov, right? And this was just the Balabakim. So the day that he did it, all the Talmidei Chachamim kind of snuck in. They were sitting in there. But they weren't at the table. They were standing in the back. This was a shear to Balabatim. That's how much the Gra was matched with the Indian. But so the Nitziv, going back to the Nitziv, so he said, I would have lived my whole life as a Frum Yid, an Erlich Yid, one who learned some Torah every day. And I would have died thinking, I did my Tachlis. So I come out, and then he says, after Me'ev Yesrim Shana, I would come up to the Kisei HaKavayit. And I would feel pretty good, you know, everyone has a virus, but I'd feel pretty good. And all of a sudden, the Midas Adin says, where is the Hamik Shaila you should have written? I say, what are you talking about? What Hamik Shaila? He says, you had it in you. So the Nitziv says, L'chol apachas, I know that that time is not going to happen. This I did. And you know, the Rav Dessler, at the Levaya of the Chazon Ish, there was a bacher who was crying over the Chazon Ish's patira. And Rav Dessler said to the bacher, why are you crying over the Rav, the Gain, and the Tzaddik, who's buried in the ground? He then pointed to the person, the boy. Why don't you cry over the Rav, the Gain, and the Tzaddik that's in you? There's a Rav and a Gain and a Tzaddik that's in you. The Rav, the Gain, and the Tzaddik that is Nikbar became the Rav, the Gain, and the Tzaddik. All right, so it's a hefset for the world. But he was Makayim, his Tafkid. But in each of us, there's a Rav, a Gain, and a Tzaddik. And if we're not Makayim that Tafkid, that's something to cry about. That's the Rav, the Gain, and the Tzaddik. So I think, once again, Rav Daiv came from a bit of a different world than we grew up in. So in Mela, we could say, well, he's from the Dor HaYosha, so to speak. Although, as I say, he's very, very great. But Rav Nassim Tzvi came from our world. Came from our backgrounds. He became what he became. And his life was a great inspiration, and that should give us a lot of chizuk to become what we should become. I just end with the thought, they say b'shem the Gra, although it's not in his Perish on Mishlei, it's on a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Lev chacham liyaminai, the heart of a wise person is to his right. V'lev kesil l'smailai, and the heart of a fool is to his left. I don't want to say anything with any of you, but I must be a fool for sure, because my heart is to the left. This means Lev Chacham Liyaminai. What does that mean? So the Gra says, Lev is a lashon of Havana, understanding. He says, imagine you have a sefer. To the Yamin is everything I've learned. To the right is what I've learned. To the smile is what I haven't learned. Lev Chacham Liyaminai is a person gets sipuk and a sense of accomplishment. I've learned so much, and that gives you the energy to want to do more, because you see, I've learned this stuff, and that gives you chizuk to go right. The kesil is always looking at what he hasn't done yet, and he's miyayesh. He says, what's the point? I finished 20 blad of the Masechta. That doesn't make me happy. There's another 90 I didn't do yet. Right, so the Gra says that Hagam, that Anava, is so important. But a person has to have a sense of accomplishment. A person has to feel, I've learned, I've accomplished. And that gives you the sense of being able to go on. The Chacham builds on accomplishment and then feels energized to go on. The Kesil only focuses on failure and then he becomes Miyoyish. Okay, so B'ezras Hashem, we should all be Zeicher to be chachamim, even in this manner of nefila, and we should take pride, good pride, a yigbal libay b'darchei Hashem, in what we've accomplished, in the great sechus of being able to learn Torah every day, to be able to learn Torah in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, a place that is Meseis Kol Haaretz, and in that way, may we be zeicher to continue to grow in Torah and mitzvahs, to be a kiddush Hashem. And to look at the Gedolim that have left us and look at them as models that perhaps we'll never become, but at least we can try to.